This is The Evening Buzz, presented by Mikhail Atiyah.
The post-apocalyptic action-adventure RPG that is the Fallout franchise has seen a bit of a revitalization for its overall franchise, simply because the Amazon-exclusive Fallout live-action series just recently premiered, and a lot of people have been watching it, and most people do agree that it is a pretty solid adaptation of the Fallout franchise. And apparently, it's canonically tied to the timeline with the other video game titles in the series, which makes it all the more exciting for people to have this renewed interest, this renewed love for Fallout. And Bethesda's been really clever with the gradual hype and the buildup of interest from newcomers and even current fans, because they basically put most of their Fallout titles in on a big discount, so you can get all of the Fallout games for really cheap prices. I saw Fallout 3 in New Vegas for like 10 dirhams. You can imagine, it's tempting to buy those games and try them out. Now, I myself have played Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 4, but I'll be honest, it's been nearly a decade since I've touched that franchise, and something about watching the show has somewhat, this is interest creeping up of wanting to go back and maybe revisit that world, because it is, Fallout is such a fascinating piece of fiction, that's really worth exploring, not even through video game, but maybe even if you're someone who loves to read about, you know, just interesting different, you know, world scenarios, alternate apocalypse scenarios. But the games is really the bread and butter of this franchise. And yeah, people have been coming back to it. The sales apparently have skyrocketed for most of these titles. And Bethesda has went basically on an immediate response of coming out with a next-gen update for Fallout 4, not only on PC, not only for current-gen consoles, but even last-gen consoles. And honestly, very respectable, because it means that they know that there is a massive resurgence of players jumping back to that game, and adding, you could say, a modern touch-up, a modern update that kind of makes those games perform better will be really great for them in the long run. And it's been over 8 years now that Fallout 4 has been out in market. And with the recent next-gen update, some of the biggest differences come with frame rate. The improvement is very noticeable when you switch between quality mode and their latest mode called performance mode, which honestly gives a big boost to the frame rate and just general performance, especially because Fallout, especially under Bethesda's development, each Fallout game has a little bit of jank, a little bit of clunkiness to it. It's expected, but it's, to some extent, most players know that it's kind of the charm of Bethesda. It has certainly worn down after Starfield came out. That game was received poorly by the general fan base, as players have grown to not tolerate that anymore. There's definitely needs to be a massive update to their game engine and how they make, just how they design games overall, how they design stories, quests, all these little things that have grown a little bit tiresome. But that won't detract from the fact that the Fallout franchise is beloved, it is cherished, and has the ability to be so much more in the coming future. Now with the show coming out and bringing in that revitalized interest, Bethesda needs to bank on this. They need to capitalize on the hype behind it now that the second season has been renewed. But there has been no news whatsoever when it comes to Fallout 5. Now this is something that maybe we might hear more about it later this year during the Xbox showcase. I highly doubt it is even the time to bring it up, but Todd Howard has been the head of Bethesda, president of Bethesda, who has been heavily involved in the Fallout titles and their development. He can have that chance to, you know, bring back the hype for that franchise, whether through new updates, new expansions, through Fallout 76, but perhaps even just give us a tease of the next Fallout in the franchise. Again, I'm saying this as speculation, but I bring it up now because if in a few months from now, during the Xbox showcase, it is brought up, I'd like to say I told you so. So Xbox showcase could be the next time we hear anything excitingly new about the Fallout franchise. But until then, we'll just have to wait and see. We're going to take a short break. Coming up next, we're talking about Steam, who apparently are finally cracking down on a refund policy loophole in which players can refund a whole game, a game that they ordered before the launch of it. And this can be very concerning because people can end up playing 10, 20 hours of the game during the early access and then just refund it on day one. Yikes. Really, I love this and I got to talk about it, but also talk about some other things that Steam could do a little bit better with their refund policy. That and so much more right here on The Evening Buzz. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
There are so many surprising perks when it comes to when you become a PC gamer. Everything from third-party markets where you can find some really great discounts for some titles that normally never get any discounts from official stores. Modding, honestly, entire genres, entire catalogs of games that are not available on console would be available only on PC. High performance, high graphics, all these little things. But for me, it's a much simpler perk that I feel should be implemented on all platforms, but it seems to only be best on PC, specifically on Steam. Steam has a refund policy where you can play a game for about 2 hours or less, and if you don't like it, you can refund all of it. You can do a full refund of that game. And I think that's really great because no other platform does it this way. It's actually insane. PlayStation barely has a refund policy where you buy a game. If you just download it, the refund is void. You have to request the refund before you download the game. How crazy is that, huh? And it's one of those things where I appreciate so much, but for as simple of a policy that is, there is a bit of a loophole that players have grown to exploit. And so Valve, the company behind Steam, has finally cracked down on this. So in a recent update, Steam has tightened up the refund policy to address a loophole that allowed players to exploit something called advanced access privileges. What this simply means is that if you're someone who buys, let's say a new game's coming out, and you can pay a little extra to play it during early access, you know, like you get to play the game two to three days before its official launch date, right? And apparently you can put in 10, you can put 20 hours, right? And then on the day of the launch, right, you can request a full refund, get your money back. Even though the refund policy is you have to play the game below 2 hours, then you can request full refund. But because of this early access situation where you're playing the game before the game is officially launched out, people can kind of still implement this refund request, and it works up until now, unfortunately. So they've updated the policy to include a specific section on refunds on titles purchased prior to release date, introducing an official advanced access label and applying the standard 2 hour playtime limit even to those games if you try to play early access. So advanced access refers to games that offer, like I said, early play opportunities before their official release, typically through special editions that come at an additional cost. For instance, recently games like Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, allowed players to access the game days before the official launch by purchasing deluxe editions. So they can clock in as many hours and right at the day of the launch, just request for a refund. This is a big deal because it means that developers lose money from potential players like this. And players even previously could rack up a significant amount of playtime and then claim those refunds just without any consequence whatsoever. So Valve clarified, now when you purchase a title on Steam prior to the release date, the 2-hour playtime limit for refunds will apply to those who get their hands on the game earlier than the intended launch date. And so for me personally, as a Steam user, I think this update brings a lot more clarity and fairness to the refund process, preventing abuse of the system while allowing players to make informed decisions about those purchases. Nobody likes an exploit. Well, you can be tempted to use one, but generally it hurts everybody. Another actual issue with, even though I do like the user-friendly Steam policy, I do find that it doesn't really protect indie developers. Indie developers are probably the ones who suffer the most because they end up making games that are technically anywhere from an hour to 2 hours long. And we're talking, this is a one or two team developing team that worked on a game and it's only as short as 45 minutes to an hour. And so what would people do? They would play the game for that hour and then immediately refund it. It's a shame because those developers had players who bought their game but have lost the revenue because the game is shorter than 2 hours, so people take advantage of the 2-hour refund policy and just play it and get their money back. I feel Valve needs to do something about this. Something where if they know that your game is playable in less than an hour, there should be a more restrictive refund policy for that, just to protect developers, indie developers, from losing potential revenue. It's happened in the past, and it still does happen. I think this is an exploit that Valve still needs to address. But let's take a short break, and coming up next, we're talking about AI. Yes, still a big trend in all industries across the world, but when it comes to voice actors, how is the industry battling against AI when it comes to this? Well, apparently, there's going to be a new AI license that aims to protect voice actors and promote ethical AI usage. But will actors be satisfied?
Pulse 95.
You know, for as much as there's hype behind the artificial intelligence that is out right now, there's definitely always concerns, counterculture that fights against it, wondering what are the dangers of over-reliance on AI? Because we've come to a point now, a stage in our life, where we are over-reliant on technology. It's just a given at this point. But AI is its own category, and it is something that is kind of still in its inception, its infancy. There's so much that is yet to be unraveled, unexplored about this piece of tech. And I've been kind of trying to focus on what AI is doing to the entertainment industry. There's been talks about using AI to write stories for movies, using AI to capture the likeness of an actor and using their likeness in a digital form, whether through animation or through live action, if they can actually pull it off. But then there is AI through voice acting. What if there is a famous voice actor and you can use an AI to catch enough data, voice data, and then have basically a package that you can sell to clients who use their voice likeness in productions like movies, shows, and animation. But the problem is, where does the compensation come from? Where are the established residuals, the established royalties, the established compensation? And so one of the, there's a company called Speechless that's based in Sweden that's trying to offer a tool that hopes to bring in somewhat of a hybrid AI license for voice actors, aiming to provide an ethical approach to AI usage, specifically in the gaming industry. This is really great. Now, there was been, there's, I talked about this earlier this year when it came to the Actors Guild in Hollywood that actually established a new policy regarding the rights of actors with AI. But this kind of goes a little bit further, and this is for voice actors who are probably not part of that union. So with this new AI license, actors can lend their voice and earn commissions when their recordings are used by developers. The goal is to offer developers an ethical way to leverage AI tech while ensuring fair compensation for voice actors. Really great. And this means that we're getting closer and closer to kind of removing potential exploitation of people's talent through AI tools without proper compensation. Developers have increasingly turned to AI in game development, and we're talking everything from reducing the redundancy of level design, character design, perhaps even game animation, all these little things. So a lot of things through AI tools are going to be streamlined, and perhaps even voice acting will be a part of it. But actors have expressed concerns about this impact. Actors in the UK, supported by the Union Equity, have been wary about AI-driven deepfakes, while there's also, like I said, the SAG, the Actors Guild, which prompted them to establish an AI voice agreement, raised concerns among those actors. Even actors behind popular characters in games like Baldur's Gate 3 have expressed reservation about AI usage, because if it does become more prevalent, that means that there are voice actors out there who are going to lose their livelihood because of AI. But despite these concerns, Speechless, the CEO of Speechless, sees an opportunity to bridge that gap between actors and developers ethically. And this is, I think, the key term here. How do we ethically try to use AI while also providing the fair compensation for the work and likeness of the voice actor themselves? And honestly, I can't see any other way. You can't fight the wave of artificial intelligence. It's gonna happen, and it's happening quickly. So that means you gotta react quickly to it. Speechless is perhaps one of many other companies that are trying to find proper solutions to this. And transparency is always key when it comes to this. So having a company like Speechless be transparent about what their service is trying to do is great, because it means that it could get more voice actors out there to agree to jump into generative AI, such as speech to text speech, or even enhancing NPCs in game. So yeah, it's AI's here to stay, and it's going to get more prevalent. It's all about finding ethical solutions to these concerns, and this is one step to many steps that perhaps will take a long time before we can embrace AI and also protect the people who protect their livelihood, protect their talent, protect their likeness in the entertainment industry, which is ever growing and ever changing in these times. And with that, guys, it's time to wrap it up here on the Evening Buzz. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you guys tomorrow from 8 till 9 p.m., keeping you guys busy and entertained all throughout the week and shift, only here on Pulse 95. This is Mikael Atia signing out. Have a good one.
If you liked this episode of The Evening Buzz, drop a like and subscribe. Be sure to follow us on Instagram for all our daily updates and top stories.